Welcome to the Health Ranger Show, friends. My name's Mike Adams. I'm your host. I'm the editor of naturalnews.com. And today we have a very interesting guest for you. His name is Noah McKay. He's the author of Wellness at Warp Speed. His website is found at www.wellnessatwarpspeed.com, and he has a fascinating history that you'll want to know about. Thanks for joining me on the show today, Dr. Noah McKay.
Thank you, Mike, for having me. It's a great pleasure.
Well, it's my honor. I've read your book. I'm very interested in your work. How would you describe your message to people? Can you give a little bit of background of Wellness at Warp Speed?
Well, Wellness at Warp Speed, when my patients and now my audience asked me how did this book came about, I said, well, this book is a compilation of 51 years of research and development in the new medicine. And by the new medicine, I mean the kind of medicine that I used after my own demise, where I got sick and I was told I had a very limited time to live, and I had to discard essentially all the conventional tools that I had learned as a doctor and as a surgeon to adopt the new science. And the new science is based on the science of quantum mechanics, which is a branch of physics. And so the book is a introduction to what is quantum physics and what does quantum physics do and how is it that we can use the faster-than-light-speed interactions inside the body to precipitate spontaneous healing or faster recoveries. That's exactly what I did. And so I start the book by telling my readers about what I did as a 33-year-old who came down with life-threatening heart disease and how I used Einstein's formulas to reverse that in a very, very fast frame of time. And now I've been lecturing for the last 4 years worldwide, over 12 countries, getting the message of the book out there, both to physicians, but particularly to the non-medical community of people that are looking for new ways to address their health needs.
Well, Noah, let me get back to your training. You are an MD, so you were trained in a conventional medical setting, correct?
Yes, I did my undergraduate training at Tufts University in Boston, went to the Albert Einstein College of Medicine in New York City, and then did a residency, very traditional residency in internal medicine and surgery in the Virginia Mason Hospital in Seattle, Washington, and then got out there and I became a general practitioner. And so, yes, very conventional background and training.
And then, but as you began to explore more of this advanced medicine, the energy side of medicine or the quantum physics side, you also opened a very successful series of clinics throughout Washington State, correct?
I mean, Mike, was again through serendipity and need. Necessity, they say, is the mother of invention. And in my case, I had life-threatening cardiac disease that visited me. I woke up one morning on September 21st, 1989, at the age of 33, and I was short of breath. And within 48 hours, I discovered that I had a viral myopathy, cardiomyopathy, an infection of the heart muscles that had essentially not only landed me in the hospital, but had shortened my lifespan to less than 2 years. So I was 33 and in the fifth year of my practice, and have now come down with congestive heart failure.
So you thought your life was over?
My life was over. My life was over, and I didn't know really what to do or in which direction to look at. And what happened was, in the recovery period, in the couple of months when I'm sitting on oxygen, with oxygen every day, barely enough energy to get up and go to the restroom or even take a shower unassisted, I was reading books, and I was reading a number of books that I had omitted over the 5 to 10 years previously. And one of the books I read got my attention about what the Bell theorem was, what the Heisenberg uncertainty principle was, and what 100 years of quantum science had done for medicine that had been overlooked entirely by my colleagues and my predecessors in conventional care. And so it was my own demise, essentially, Mike, that asked me the following questions. One, is it possible that we can interact with the faster-than-light interactions inside my cells and bring some kind of faster healing recovery in the valves and the muscles of my heart? Can I use quantum mechanics? Can I use the science of Einstein to reverse my own heart disease. And what I found in the next 3 months was, in fact, I was able to do that. I came back to the practice 6 months after my own recovery, using all of the tools I learned in those 6 months. I tried just about every alternative and complementary form of care that you can imagine, from using allopathic science, which had failed me. I went to naturopathic science, herbal medicine, massage, of course, and Qigong and Tai Chi, herbal therapies. The one thing that helped me the most in that first initial recovery period was fasting. Very little is known on fasting in conventional medicine, but in fact, anyone who has fasted can tell you that the body's physiology changes in the third, fourth day of the fast. I did a 30-day fast, very unconventional. I don't recommend it to your listeners. I don't recommend it to my patients. But as a result of that, my entire physiology went through a warp speed recovery phase that I now talk about, lecture about, and write about.
And so through this personal health crisis, you experienced a genuine and very empowering health transformation, it sounds like, and also learned a lot along the way. Is that the basis of your book, Wellness at Warp Speed, then, the lessons that you learned?
I would say a third of the book, the beginning of the book, is my own transformation and how I precipitated light speed healing that was not related necessarily to the drugs I was taking, not necessarily related to the cardiac care that I was receiving. By the way, I appreciate everything that my colleagues did for me during that period, but it was very limited. It was really my own inquiry into all these other facets of healthcare that I had overlooked as a medical student and as a family practitioner. And I'm suggesting that every time I get confronted with people who have a life-threatening illness, I ask them first to read my book, to let them know that what we're receiving in healthcare today globally should be treated very gingerly as an opinion. In other words, if you come down with a life-threatening disease today, Mike, and you went to your physician who is trained in complementary medicine or conventional medicine, either end of the spectrum, you will be receiving one perspective. What you need to know is that there are multiple perspectives. The most important perspective is your own. And remember that the subtitle of my book, Wellness at Warp Speed, is Your Health, Your Destiny, and Your Choice. Because quantum physics teaches us that, in fact, we are the mandate that can determine the reality of our own existence and behavior. So we, in fact, have the abilities inside the body to modify a diseased pathological state or an organ failure by determining that we want it fixed. That choice is something that we have overlooked because of 100 years of conventional care. Many, many millions of people think that the doctor or the surgeon or their physician is in charge and give up. And,
well, it's a very deterministic viewpoint of healing in conventional medicine, and most doctors believe or are taught that they are the healers and not the patients, that the patient has little or no role in their own healing process, which that's an idea that you and I find to be completely crazy.
Well, the deterministic approach to healthcare, as you call it, is old science, old thinking, and this new quantum-based choice directed and self-directed health is really the health and the choice that we're going to be seeing more and more of. And the reason for that is very clear. We have over 55 million people that die on the planet every year. And of the 200 countries around the world, I can't pick one that I would say is using quantum medicine in the way that it needs to be to address the needs of 6.6 billion people.
All right, Noah, we've got to go to a quick break here, but we'll continue this conversation when we come back. You're listening to an exclusive interview with Dr. Noah McKay, author of Wellness at Warp Speed, a book that's also available on our website, truthpublishing.com. We'll be right back with more information with Dr. Noah McKay about quantum healing and wellness at warp speed. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Health Ranger Show. I hope you're enjoying this exclusive interview with Dr. Noah McKay, author of Wellness at Warp Speed, Your Health, Your Destiny, Your Choice. It's a fantastic new book that's out on the market. You can find it at truthpublishing.com. You can also learn more about Noah and his philosophy of health at the following website, wellnessatwarpspeed.com. And in the last segment, Noah, you're talking about quantum physics. You're talking about the role of the observer or the patient in creating their own reality. Now, let me ask you a practical question. How does quantum physics apply to healing? I mean, for a lot of patients, these are two completely isolated, separate realms of scientific understanding. How do you bring them together?
Well, what I did was imagine I was 33, strapped to oxygen. I had no hope, number one. Nobody was giving me an iota of hope that I could reverse this. And of all books, I stopped reading medical books. Of all books, I grabbed a book called The Holographic Universe by Michael Talbot.
I know this book, yeah.
Are you familiar with that book?
Oh, yes. I've read many, many books about the multiverse and the holographic universe.
It's an exceptional book, and he talks about three things that resonated with me. The first thing was what you call the observer effect. And the observer effect is something that came into physics over 200 years ago, 1801, in fact. A young physicist by the name of Thomas Young went out there and did some experimentation on light and how it travels. And he wanted to determine essentially whether it travels as a light or as a wave. But the results of the experiment have been done thousands and thousands of times. And each time the Thomas Young experiment has been done by physicists around the world, we found that the observer, in other words, the experimenter, has the ability to change the behavior of the electrons and the movement of light. Depending on who you are and what you're observing or what you're thinking and feeling, the electrons may be observed as a particle or as a wave. Now, to someone listening to this right now who's ill, this is meaningless. What does this have to do with my health? Well, what this has to do with your health is that we have found out over 200 years ago that the effects of the observer are tantamount to creating outcome. In other words, I have had patients who've come down with the same diagnosis, the same day, same gender, same background, with heart disease. One of them has a behavior that is set in, I am going to get well, I have grandchildren to take care of, I have travel plans to still engage in, I have a second marriage I'm looking forward to, and they go ahead and they recover from their heart disease and they're well. The second patient, told the same exact things by the doctor, ends up actually succumbing to it. Why is it that people with the same diagnosis end up having entirely two outcomes? The reason and the answer to that question is the observer effect. What we observe and the thoughts, the feelings, and the expectations that we create of ourselves and of people around us is exactly what is going to come about. And this, it's one thing me telling you this in a nice short story book. It's another thing thousands of physicists determining this in scientific laboratories across our planet. And what's amazing about the observer effect is that it has not been refuted. In other words, whatever it is that you're thinking right now as you're doing this interview with me is essentially the outcome that you're going to achieve. If you look for a positive outcome in your legacy, if you're contracting an illness that is being told by a conventional medical doctor that this is an incurable entity and you believe in it, that's exactly what the observer effect says you will end up with. You will believe that you have that disease, it will kill you, and sometimes almost to the hour and to the date is how accurate it goes.
I think this speaks to the harm that is often caused inadvertently by physicians who, well, you see this in oncology a lot, where they diagnose someone with cancer and they say, oh, you only have 6 months to live. And in doing so, if the patient believes them because they're an authority figure, then the patient is set on a time track now where they will die in 6 months if they don't intervene and do something different. But that may be based more on the belief than any kind of scientific fact, because a patient that didn't go to that doctor and said, no, I'm going to overcome this cancer and I'm going to live 30 more years, that could be true for them as well.
Well, you know what's amazing is I got my training in the United States, and I did my 20 years plus of practice of medicine in the United States. But I have had the opportunity over the last 3.5 years to travel, and I've visited 12 countries. And that kind of behavior, by the way, is not standard in all conventional medical centers around the world. Culturally, for instance, in the Middle East, we do not tell patients all of the details that we do here in the United States. And for the very reason, the doctors in the Middle East that I've been interviewing and working with over the last 3 years particularly say, well, this is not based on quantum science. This is just based on the logic of how the mind works. If you tell someone they're going to die within a year and 10 people corroborate and confirm that, there's a high likelihood that that death is going to occur in 1 year. And this has nothing to do with the observer effect. They're saying this is just, it makes sense strategy. Now, you asked me also what are some of the other issues. The other one that I wanted to tell your readers about was the issue of non-locality. And non-locality was, again, something I learned from that book by Michael Talbot, The Holographic Universe. An Irish physicist around the year 1964 by the name of John Stuart Bell came about, and he gave mathematical proof that validated the interaction of non-local entities.
This is what Einstein called spooky action at a distance?
Yes. Yes, spooky action at a distance means that you have the ability to interact with something across the room, across the town that you live in, or across the planet instantaneously, which means faster than the speed of light. And he thought it out. He used the mathematical proof that, in fact, we can affect something. In other words, you can think of someone right now as we're having this interview, in the middle of this interview, just think of a thought right now. And that thought, in fact, will have a physiologic effect on that individual across the planet instantaneously. What's even more amazing about the John Bell theorem was that it was validated in an experimental laboratory in 1982 by Alan Aspect and his colleagues in Paris, France, all of whom got the Nobel Prize that year for it. And so now we have mathematical proof, experimental and laboratory proof that what you and I are thinking and feeling has not only a direct action on the subject of your thinking, it could be my heart valve or it could be my mother who's living 7,000 miles away from where I am. And you can, in fact, measure physiologically the effect of your thoughts and feelings in these entities. It could be my heart muscle or it could be my mom's mind.
I recall, too, that there was research conducted where this was actually proven on molecules, not just electrons and their spin, but also on larger molecules, too, that they were able to impact each other using this non-local action. Now, I want to ask you more about that when we come back. It's time to go to another quick break. You are listening to an interview with Dr. Noah McKay, author of Wellness at Warp Speed, Your Health, Your Destiny, Your Choice. You can find his information online at www.wellnessatwarpspeed.com, and you can find a transcript of this interview at naturalnews.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back after this break with more. Welcome back to the Health Rangers Show. I hope you're enjoying this conversation with Dr. Noah McKay, author of a book called Wellness at Warp Speed. And with all the talk out there today about the power of intention and the healing effect of prayer or intention or meditation, mind-body medicine, it's good to have an author like Dr. Noah here who is explaining the underlying mechanisms of how this works. He gets into the science, the history of quantum physics, and how to apply it to your health today. You're going to continue your explanation of how quantum mechanics works for healing?
I would like to. I have covered, obviously, the observer effect and the non-locality principles, both principles that work in people that pray for others and people who have a positive outlook, both on their own health as well as other people's health. The third one that struck with me and resonated was the E equals MC squared formula of Albert Einstein. Remember, Albert Einstein was 25 years of age. He was a very young man when he came up with that universal formula. Through the disease that I had, I was able to understand fully what equals MC squared implies to the health and well-being of myself and now my patients and readers. So E, as you recall, is signifying the energy of anything, and people can relate to energy. We talk about it freely. So that's the concept represented by the letter E. The letter M represents mass. In this case, mass is my body and your body and the body of anyone who's listening. And C, if you recall, is the speed of light, which is close to 186,000 miles a second times itself because it's square.
Yes.
So what does this imply? Well, this energetic equivalent of life universal laws is being condensed now into one formula. What Albert Einstein is trying to tell us is that mass, if it's our body, can be multiplied by the speed of light times itself to be equal to the amount of energy that it actually possesses.
That's a lot of energy.
So we have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
We have a lot of energy, and what I found out that day when I was thinking about it in this manner is, number one, I am untapped energy. In other words, I have healing energy, healing potential in me that is literally not tapped. And if I wanted to tap it, number one, I have to go to the observer effect and then to John Bell's theorem to tell myself and convince myself that I am filled with energy, and that I can equate my body mass with my energy at the speed of light if I chose to. Very simple. If I chose to, I can go between energy and matter and back and forth. And, you know, most of us are locked into our five senses of sight and smelling and taste and hearing and touch. And if you look at the universe, what I found out as a sick person is that 99.99999% of my consciousness and my reality is not visible and accessible to those five primary senses. And in fact, that's so true. What you experience, what you feel, what you touch, what you sense today in your life has very little to do with the entire potential of what you can really know about the universe. The same is true about health. The same is true about wellness. And if you look at this well of wellness, this potential, this grand, gigantic reservoir of wellness, we don't necessarily tap it. If we could tap it using these three theorems, Thomas Young's and John Bell and Albert Einstein, we can, in fact, access light speed interactions inside our body by first making the decision. And then, of course, remember that I took some training. Some of this training had to do with behavioral thinking, where, number one, I convinced myself within a couple of days that, one, I was not going to die, and two, I was going to recover, and three, and most important, I was going to do something phenomenal post-recovery.
So let me jump in here and translate some of this to the listener who's asking us a question such as they're thinking, oh, I have arthritis or whatever symptom, whatever label they've been given by a doctor. And in their mind right now, if they're coming from a Western point of view, they just want to get rid of the symptom. They say, how do I get rid of my pain? Or how do I get rid of the high cholesterol and so on? That's the viewpoint they're coming from. So if I can paraphrase your answer to that, it's not that they should be looking for an allopathic answer to that symptom to make the symptom go away, but rather they should begin to reformulate their entire belief system, the way that they understand their body and mind and energy works, and come at this solution from an entirely different angle, not allopathically.
Precisely. And I'm not using allopathic or naturopathic. You, any angle that you choose, if it's failing, it's failing you.
Yes, yes.
And you have to readdress the fact that you have failed yourself using naturopathic or you've failed yourself using allopathic science. The critical component of what you just said is that you make the decision for wellness that nobody else can do for you. That's a critical, critical decision. And what happens time and again, thousands of times in my practice and potentially billions of times every day, is that we do not get that sense of support from the people around us, our spouse, our neighbor, our doctor is in conflict with the decision that we have made about our wellness.
Very true. Yeah.
And if you can override that, if you can delete, if you will, like a file, and I've done this, by the way, as an exercise, 85% of the encounters that we encounter on a daily basis, of the 50,000 thoughts that come into the consciousness of a human being, 85% of them are essentially in conflict with where you need to be. So your patient with arthritis is a good example. This person has arthritis, and if they left this radio program, read the book, and said, well, here's a doctor that healed himself, and he's now teaching people that the way you think, in fact, can encounter a joint reduction of inflammation and the building of cartilage. Is that possible? Well, number one is you have to convince yourself that we have mathematical laws that say that is possible. Because your doctor, your orthopedist, your family practitioner, your neighbor, and potentially your family members may not believe that.
I think that's very, very often the case. It is often those people that, in fact, isolate you from the healing solutions that are possible. And I want to explain very quickly for the listeners who are getting maybe a little more science than they're used to. I want to explain the observer effect very quickly so they understand that in very simple terms. And that is that there are all these possibilities that exist out there for your health outcome. You could be sick in one outcome, you could be well in another, you could be somewhere in between. All those possibilities simultaneously exist. But your decision and your conscious observation and participation, they say in physics, it collapses all of those possibilities to one reality that you experience. And that's the observer effect.
Exactly. And I remember reading one of the books many years ago by Tony Robbins, the influential speaker and dynamic counselor. And one of the very first things he talks about is his own transformation from being a custodial engineer or janitor, quote-unquote, in Venice Beach. The day that he made a decision that he didn't want to be a custodian, the day that he made a decision definitively that his life has changed, was a very important decision, but he had to now go and convince others of that fact. And once he was able to convince the majority of the people around him that he's not going crazy, that he wants to go out and be a public speaker, he was able to create a buffer zone of support. And that's what's missing in most people with illness. We have a feeling that we want to cure the cancer. We have a feeling we want to reverse the arthritis. But we don't create that buffer zone of support around us.
All right, we've got to go to another break here. You are listening to an exclusive interview with Dr. Noah McKay, MD, author of Wellness at Warp Speed. And his website is wellnessatwarpspeed.com. His book is available at truthpublishing.com. We'll continue this conversation and get more practical information about how to empower yourself with healing solutions when we come back. Stay tuned. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to the Health Ranger Show. I hope you're enjoying this segment. We are conducting an exclusive interview with Dr. Noah McKay, author of Wellness at Warp Speed. He's an expert in applying the principles of quantum physics, that is high energy medicine or advanced medicine, to your health through a transformation experience that he experienced himself. He was at death's door at age 33 as a physician, but through this process he cured his own health conditions and now is teaching hundreds of thousands of other people how to do the same thing. And I know your mission was to really take this information to other people and use it to heal patients. Can you talk about your practice and your clinics in Washington State?
Well, I was in a practice, a multi-specialty practice with about five other practitioners at the time that I became ill. When I got back from my 6-month disability program and I had recovered, quote-unquote, from congestive heart failure, the excitement of those 6 months had to be translated into the practice. And I began bringing many of my colleagues who had encountered in my 6 months of disability, who had encountered as a client. So I brought naturopathic physicians, homeopaths, massage therapists, chiropractors, physical therapists, hypnotherapists, biofeedback therapists, so a whole assortment of non-medical doctors who joined the practice. And the practice grew very quickly after that. from 1993 to 1997, you know, we grew to 12 locations throughout Western Washington. Our clinics were open 7 days a week. We didn't take any appointments, so anybody could have walked in and seen a naturopath or a medical doctor, an orthopedist, all in one day. We were able to take 15,000 subscribers to this health plan, charging them a little less than $115 a month, but giving them all of the benefits of conventional care and surgery and hospitalization, plus all the benefits of complementary and alternative medicine.
Well, but this sounds like it must have been a real threat to conventional medicine. I mean, they couldn't have liked the fact that you were...
Well, I frankly did not see the threat at the time. I thought this was great because the banks were very, very interested in the model. They were interested because we were making a lot of money, and we decided to go public, and essentially was on the eve of the public offering when we were visited by the Federal Bureau of Investigation.
Well, the FBI came to your door, huh?
The FBI knocked on my door on the eve of essentially the public offering in May of 1997. The clinics at that point were seeing a little over 100,000 patients a year.
Well, so what did the FBI want from you?
Well, at the time, I didn't really know what had triggered them. There was a lot of accusations of my heritage. I was born and raised in Tehran, Iran. And as you know, we have not had diplomatic relationships between the United States and Iran for many years, and nor had I had the opportunity to visit the country. But nevertheless, there was issues related to, quote-unquote, subversive activities that I was engaged, which had no factual basis. After about a year of questioning colleagues and employees, we had 150 employees, they let that go, and they went after billing, and medical billing was being done by an outside agency, and they charged myself and the several other minority shareholders, as well as some of the managers of our clinics, for committing healthcare fraud.
So they were looking for something.
Healthcare fraud was committed because we were using alternative and complementary practices and practitioners along with conventional practices under the same roof using the same billing system.
Right, right. And they don't tolerate that in the United States.
And so even today, if you practice and bring alternative and conventional care in the same billing system, it's still qualified as healthcare fraud, and you will be fined $250,000 and serve 5 years in jail. In my situation, after 4 years of battling the U.S. government and a number of threatened insurance companies, I pled guilty to the charge of healthcare fraud, and I served essentially a year and a half in a federal prison camp in Oregon. And the irony, of course, is that shortly after my indictment, my patients went and filed a class action lawsuit.
Good for them.
1.1 million patients eventually endorsed that class action lawsuit in the state of Washington. They charged Regents Blue Shield and many of the insurance companies that had come after our clinics, that had seen us as a threat to the industry at large, and settled for over $30 million in an out-of-court settlement. And the out-of-court settlement essentially gave power back to the patients of mine and other subscribers of health plans, so that after 1999 and 2000, which is the period of time I was indicted, and 2001 when I served time, people in the state of Washington and Oregon now can have their alternative providers, i.e. acupuncturists, homeopaths, get those services paid for by their regular insurance companies.
So your experience there was instrumental in getting that freedom established for the consumers in that state. But I think it's important to mention that this sounds like it was just an organized effort to shut you down, put you out of business, eliminate the competition.
Well, the beauty, I was very angry, as anybody would have been, because our insurance model was generating over $20 million, and the practice was generating about $5 million and serving over 100,000 people every year. I was devastated financially, but what was critical in my incarceration is that the outcome of this, in fact, has been so much more favorable than I would have ever envisioned 10 years ago. So that opened my door to many governments outside the United States that are not embracing the kind of healthcare that I and many thousands of colleagues worldwide are now embracing. And as it turns out, if I had not served the time, I would have still been doing the same kind of medicine, essentially, in a much smaller platform instead of taking the concept and globalizing it.
So we've got about 2 minutes left. What are you seeing outside the U.S. then? You just mentioned these countries are adopting this advanced medicine. They're allowing procedures that the U.S. still won't allow. Well, what are you seeing? And explain the context of that. I mean, how far behind is the U.S. now in terms of advanced medicine?
Well, the book got launched in October in Manila, Philippines, and within basically a week of the launch of the book, the government of the Philippines, through its Department of Tourism and Department of Health, embraced it. 2 months later, they in fact endorsed all of the benefits that we've been talking about in terms of integrating the model of healthcare to have conventional doctors and non-conventional doctors working under the same umbrella together hand in hand. In fact, the Philippines is one of the only countries that I know of right now that has healthcare legislation that says traditional and complementary and alternative medicine is in fact part of and should be part of the protocols and services that the government pays for. And because of that endorsement, our healthcare products have gotten a lot of visibility. I will be back there most of the summer to help launch a private-public venture with the government of the Philippines that has now endorsed this multi-specialty integral form of healthcare as a public phenomenon, not just as a private phenomenon.
So countries like the Philippines now, it sounds like to me, with the advanced hospitals they're setting up and the integrative modalities, they're going to be leaving the U.S. in the dust. I mean, wealthy U.S. citizens are going to be leaving the country in greater numbers to go get health care that actually works somewhere else.
I think medical tourism, which is what you're talking about, is already a $40 billion industry. It's going to continue to grow, and yes, many of the maladies and chronic disabilities that we're seeing in North America that are not being addressed simply by the conventional tools that we have placed here are going to, the people that are hitting these walls are going to be looking for countries like the Philippines, India, Thailand, the Netherlands, all countries that we're working with very, very closely with in terms of opening these multiple channels of healthcare that have been available to us and improving the choice in healthcare, most importantly.
I agree with that. Choice is the top priority. And by the way, if you're interested in this, stay tuned to my website, naturalnews.com, folks, because I'm going to be reporting on Dr. Noah's adventures in the Philippines and elsewhere, and some of the medical tourism that's being set up around the world, and some advanced clinics that I'll be reviewing and recommending as we move forward with this. And we've got to wrap this up. Noah, we're out of time, so thanks for joining me today.
Thank you for the opportunity. You're obviously a pioneer, Mike. I want to congratulate you and Natural News for doing such a phenomenal voice, you know, for reason and choice in healthcare.
Well, thank you, and thank you for your book. It's called Wellness at Warp Speed. You can find it at truthpublishing.com. It's available in hard copy and downloadable formats. You can also learn more about Noah at his website, wellnessatwarpspeed.com. Thanks for listening, folks. I hope you enjoyed this. We'll be back with another great show next time. Talk to you then.